Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets. And with that being said, we're making an exception this week. We're not going to talk about the week at all. We're going to talk about here, Tori and Rob going deep dive on the underlying fundamentals. So those of you familiar with this program will attest to the fact that Miles is this chart guru. And we thought that wrapping up the year with a reiteration and a refresher of sorts as to why you own gold, why you buy gold, would be just a great recap, because we've got to step back and look macro here. And there's a lot that's coming down the pike. But regardless, some things don't change. And the things that don't change are the things that move the gold price. Despite a lot of volatility in different categories, gold responds and reacts to a whole lot of underlying fundamentals and what's going on in various other markets, through other policymakers, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's important. We do focus on the Fibonacci's and Elliott wave theory and the resistance and support levels and the moving averages. But that's always a look backward. The look forward won't necessarily repeat the same patterns, but it will rhyme. But we need to look at the bigger picture, you know. What are we faced with? And that hasn't changed.
So having Rob here is critically valuable. Rob, you've been doing this for essentially four decades.
Yeah.
And the company is 52 years old.
Yeah.
Started by Don and Molly back in 1972. And so you're right. Some things haven't changed. The reasons for owning gold haven't changed in your career. They haven't changed in our company's history, nor have they changed for hundreds and even thousands of years. Those underlying reasons are what we're going to jump into today, and nobody can speak to it better than you can.
Well, I'll go back a few years when we were at the Big Influencers Conference in Las Vegas. This was just as COVID was starting, and we were speaking with the people from Impact who watch over all the traffic directed towards our website, Vaulted, which we were just launching. It now has over $100 million on account. That thing has just ballooned. And one of the principals stepped up to me and he said, I have one question for you. You've been pointed out as the guy I should speak to regarding gold. And he said, here's my question. People who buy gold, are they really weird? And I just...
No, just the people that sell it are.
I should have said that. Where were you?
Yeah.
I said, you mean weird, like buy gold and get a bomb shelter weird? And he goes, yeah, exactly. And I said, no, to the degree that people have lost faith in the system, that'll dictate the percentage they allocate towards gold. Because gold is recognized everywhere around the world. And I told him, you know, you can get on an airplane and fly anywhere in the world, hold up a gold coin and smile. And the people know two things. You're smiling, so you're trying to be nice, and you have gold, so you have money. It's a universal language that means the same thing as a smile anywhere you go. So when people try to unpack their reasons for buying gold, yes, there are people who are buying gold because they want to have real money to spend if the currency becomes worthless. And I understand that. I'm not opposed to that. In fact, I have gold for that reason as well. And other people are looking at it as an investment. And we do. We take that very seriously. That's what this show is all about. The week-to-week adjustments for gold. What are we seeing happening in the short term? But the long term doesn't change. We've seen gold have a very good year in 24. We expect it to continue to do well. But that's not the principal reason why we own it. We own it because we look at the system and we know it's broken. It can be fixed, but that's a big rock to push uphill. So the primary thing that I try to encourage people to do is look at it as a legacy investment, something that you can hold in position or just even capital. You buy it and you hold it for 5 years. If we can fix this system, and I hope we can, then you can take your profits from gold and reallocate to real estate or stocks or whatever. But I had another client today, portfolio worth several million dollars, and he is turning it into an annuity. He's going to be sending me boxes every 6 months, you know, and we're going to liquidate so much gold every month. And I tell you this right now, gold today will buy what it buys in 5 years, regardless of the price. It's a constant store of value. It hasn't changed. My dear friend Kevin on our McIlvaney Weekly Commentary talks about an ounce of gold buying a loaf of bread every day for a year. And it's done that for thousands of years, and it still does today. So that constant state of value is why people own it, in my opinion, because they know with this portion of their money, whatever they allocate, and we recommend a third, that it will maintain its value, it can be passed along to future generations, and can be reallocated as opportunities present themselves.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you mentioned early on in that a loss of faith in the system, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people look at a crumbling trust, if you will, in the institutions, not just here in the United States, but globally.
Globally.
Right? With history to point to. And so in that instance, it is a just-in-case asset. So just-in-case.
Can be.
And that is where insurance comes in. That's kind of what insurance is just-in-case I'm going to have insurance on this as a result. So gold is often described as insurance for the rest of the portfolio. But aside from the just-in-case, you went into all these different things that are because it's guaranteed kind of thing, right? It's like, look at the track record. And that is the asset preservation. You talked about the retirement, the guaranteed income. With
yeah.
This guy selling it like an annuity.
Yeah.
It's never going to go to zero, right?
No.
So it's not a paper-based asset. It gets you out of paper altogether into the tangible commodity. Because we're not talking, even though you mentioned investment, we're not talking ETFs and we're not talking mining shares, you know, stocks.
Right.
We're talking about owning physical coins and bars.
Right.
Okay. In various forms in and through various vehicles. It could be your IRA. It doesn't matter. You own the tangible metal. But it also provides a privacy component in the instance that you are holding it at home.
Yeah.
Right? It's off the radar. Nobody knows you have it. It can't be come against. You removed all third party or counterparty risk, which
exactly.
is ramping up in this digital world. It's not a digital based asset that can be hacked or stolen in the sense of some computer gamesmanship or what have you. And so those are additional reasons. And I appreciate the fact that you categorically can look at it different ways. So I'm going to put you into a corner. What do you say when people say, well, how much gold should I own? Because there are different answers to why. Once you've settled on a why, what is your normal encouragement, like you said, this legacy asset? So then how many ounces, Rob?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at that. One is how many ounces do you need to have for retirement? What's your burn rate? How much do you spend every month to live? And you put that into ounces. If you need 2 ounces or 3 ounces a month to live or 1 ounce a month to live, and then what is your projection, like a 10-year or a 20-year annuity? What is your projection? When do you want to retire? And then how many ounces do you need to have set aside to make that goal? Okay, that's one way of looking at it. The other way to look at it, and I, again, borrowing from my dear friend Kevin Orrick over at McIlvaney Weekly Commentary, he looks at the triangle. A third of your liquid wealth should be in physical gold. A third on the left-hand side of the triangle is for growth and income. A third on the right-hand side of the triangle is liquid.
Cash alternatives.
Cash alternatives. And that can even be our vaulted. Our vaulted platform is set up for the right-hand side of the triangle. It's liquid. You can sell the gold in that program, have your money back in your account in 2 days. So you can look at it like a triangle, or you can approach it from an annuity standpoint. How many ounces do I need to live? And that's what my client and I were talking about today. He has set aside quite a number of ounces, and now it's time to annuitize it.
That's just an excellent example. I love the exercise too, where let's say that your cost of living is $4,000 a month. Gold is at $2,000 an ounce. That means your cost of living is 2 ounces a month. How many months do you plan on being retired? You know, if you're going to hopefully live to the ripe old age of 85 and you want to retire at 65, now you have 20 years of 2 ounces a month. And that's the exercise. And to your point on the asset preservation, those 2 ounces are going to get you by in 20 years,
what
no matter what
today.
Happens to the cost of living.
Exactly.
Right? Gold adjusts. And that's one of the guarantees. It's like death and taxes. Inflation is just like one of those two to me. It is baked in. And as long as there's inflation, and I said this last week, as long as there's inflation, there's an appreciation in the nominal value of the gold price. It just adjusts over time to the fact that they're depreciating the currency. As long as we're in a fiat currency world, you will get the continued depreciation. And thus, you will get the price appreciation of gold over time. And that's what makes you immune. And I love that. I had a client whose husband sold their company to somebody so that his wife, he was sick and he wanted his wife taken care of. And so he sold it with a 20-year payout at X number of dollars per month. And we were talking with her about the metals. Can you imagine if instead of selling it for X number of dollars per month for the next 20 years, that was her annuity, was the liquidation of the business, if he'd have sold it for X number of ounces per month for the next 20 years?
Yeah.
And then it makes her immune to the inflation. So if that business was worth an ounce of gold a month for 20 years in its current price at the time of the sale, and that recipient was getting an ounce of gold a month for the next 20 years of their life, now you're inflation protected. That's right. Just another way to look at it.
And when you look at the central banks and the fiat currency system, soon to be adjusted into a central bank digital currency, and we don't have to go down that road, but they're talking out of two sides of their mouth. So they produce fiat currencies, but at the same time, central banks around the world, guess what they're doing, Tori? They're buying gold.
That's right.
And people wonder, why is gold going up? Well, you can look at the demand coming out of the East, but you can also look at central bank demand, which is really ramped up, record levels. They are accumulating gold right now during this period. And the sooner that we here in America can figure that out and get on board, the better off our families are going to be.
That's right. And that gets to the core and some of the primary fundamentals that move the price now. So that's a very long-winded answer as to why do you own gold?
Yeah.
In the short term, on the cycles that we focus on in this show, whether it's weekly, monthly, quarterly, maybe it's just an annual year-to-date kind of thing, right? Maybe it's a decade-long glance, or maybe it's just a three-year bull market type focus. What are the primary fundamentals, in your opinion, that are changing gold in the short term that's causing the up and down price action, even though it just climbs over our lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
It's a stair step fashion, and sometimes those stairs head down. Why?
Well, I mean, you can look at it technically, and that's one of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. You know, the Fibonacci's, the Elliott wave, the moving averages, support, resistance. And the reason why that's so effective to look backward is because you know where your support is based upon where the peaks were leading into this last leg higher. And then you can also see where there's going to be sell orders or people selling their positions at close to the tops of where it peaked out before it stair-stepped down. So that's hugely helpful as a trading vehicle where you can see where your support is and assume that that moderate to strong strength of support. And you can also look ahead and say, when we get back up to 2,800 or 3,000, we know there's going to be some sell orders done. And that's going to cool the momentum upward. But regardless of all that, when you look at the fundamentals, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Asia, okay, what's happening here in the United States.
So you're talking fundamentals don't have to be just in the U.S. These are global fundamentals.
Global. Absolutely.
And what are the key fundamentals? Like, what's moving gold on any given day? Okay, so Miles will say, as the chart expert, the technical analyst, oh yeah, this is where the price is going to go. You guys are just talking about the news, right? So the news the news is going to finally get it there. Yeah.
Yeah.
What news? All right. What do we tend to focus on or hear that ends up moving gold for a day, a week, a year, a decade? What are those fundamentals?
It's going to be global uncertainty.
Okay.
What's happening with Israel and other nations around it? What's happening in Ukraine and the nations around it? What's happening with China and its neighbors? Where are we going?
So that's geopolitics.
Yeah, also. Geopolitically has a huge impact on gold. As people see instability, threats of war, you know, that moves the price of gold. It's not necessarily global warming that moves the price of gold, even though people point to that as a huge factor and a huge threat. But the production of gold also factors into this. I know there was recently a huge discovery in China, a huge reservoir of gold, but it's a couple of miles in the ground. They got to get to it. That's going to take a while. Just getting to the gold coming out of the ground is expensive and risky. So that's another big fundamental, maybe not as big as geopolitical. And then you have central bank demand. What do they know that we don't know? Okay. Why are they stocking up on gold in record fashion right now? Well, obviously, they're looking at the same things that you and I are looking at, going, wow, I don't like what I see. I think I'm going to up my percentage and my allocation to gold. Only they do it in a big way.
They do it in a big way. And so to have some subcategories to that one, that's certainly currency strength.
Yeah.
So the central banks determine interest rates. They determine the flow of money, or the money supply is a big one. So you often preach about that. Just the depreciation of the currency against which you're measuring it. So is there strong dollar policy or weak dollar policy? And if it's going to be weak dollar policy, then you would imagine that central bank would be buying gold, as other people would be.
Well, and we have grown up in an American-centric world where America sets the tone and America sets the direction for the rest of the world. And what Americans are starting to realize is that we no longer are driving the world economy. We may be the biggest consumer of goods in the world, but we don't drive it necessarily more than, you know, we do televisions and cell phones and VCRs, or who knows, VCRs aren't a thing anymore.
I'm dating myself.
But, you know, tennis shoes, what have you. You know, we've been used to exporting dollar bills, like, you know, the Middle East will export barrels of oil and buy whatever we want. And we have this feeling that when we are ready to buy something, the world is our oyster, but we are no longer the world. The world is the world, and we have to adjust to that. And that's a big adjustment to make.
That's a great point. And there's almost too many fundamentals to count. I often tell people, look, think about the gold price as a scale, and you've got bullish fundamentals and you've got bearish fundamentals, right?
Okay.
And so as we stack up heavier on the bull side, that's going to be a lot of these things that you talked about, right? Uncertainty in the markets, geopolitical instability, maybe production limitations, like supply problems, central bank demand going up. Yeah. But why? Probably because there's poor monetary policy, and that is layered. So when we talk about monetary policy, the news of the day that moves the gold price could be, was there a spending decision in Washington, right?
Okay.
Was there a tightening decision? Is the Federal Reserve quantitatively tightening, or is the Federal Reserve coming out and making an announcement that they're going to quantitatively ease and flood more money into the market? Are banks suddenly seeing a change in the law that makes it easier to lend? Or is there something going on that makes them tighten their belts and take more austerity measures and tighten a little bit so there's less lending in the system, and that tightens the money supply? Is there something that's increasing the velocity of money, like a government?
Velocity has been so dead. Money is not turning over in our system.
No, and that can drive inflation, which is another topic, inflation versus deflation. If we have a strong inflationary environment, that's going to be on the bull side of the scale, whereas deflation could arguably be on the bearish side of the scale.
But look at how the American marketplace has affected the price of gold just over the last 20 odd years. when gold first hit 1,000, we hit the financial crisis, the big panic in 08, 09. Gold fell from 1,000 down to 750. It took 6 weeks for the price of a Krugerrand to get back above $1,000. Then during the COVID panic, we had the price of gold hitting a high point and then a big reversal. Why did gold reverse in these two instances? It was because of the stock market. The stock market fell out of bed.
Another fundamental.
But this last time during the COVID panic, the price of gold reversed and it was back above where it started just within days. And so my point is that the American marketplace does not have as much of an impact on the price of gold as it did 20 years ago or 40 years ago. Going back to the peak, 79-80, I had just sold my gold before the peak. I was buying gold in the early 70s. I didn't know Don and Molly McIlvaney, but I got here as quick as I could. But the thing is, and my point is that the United States financial market does not have as much of a bearish or bullish fundamental on the price of gold as it did as I grew through this market, as I grew up during this market. As soon as the gold price steps back due to, say, a stock market sell-off, it's done. If we see another stock market pullback like we have, I think you'll see gold fall sympathetically because Wall Street is raising capital to meet margin calls.
You're talking about like a crash, not just a gradual bear market.
No, I'm
talking
about
short-term 20% plus pullback.
Yeah.
Bear market. Gotcha.
Bear market. It'll take weeks, if not years, for the stock market to recover. My guess is because of the global demand for gold, gold will only be down for days,
weeks,
if not hours.
Yes.
Not even weeks anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a global market. We need to get used to that.
Yeah, to that point, the gold market trades 5 days a week, 23 hours a day. So between the prices moving 23 hours a day between New York and
London,
the Asian market and London, right?
And so, Shanghai, yeah.
So you're right. With the Shanghai Exchange, it argues your point that we've lost influence in a sense.
Yes.
And what we have seen is that it actually puts a floor. So as we've seen increased Eastern central bank buying and a lag in Western central bank buying, they buy up on price dips through the Shanghai Exchange and it's keeping a floor in gold. We don't see the same retracements that we seemed to have seen because it's become global.
It's exactly my point.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that.
No. And just bringing up the stock market in general, again, is another fundamental. So to circle back around, is there anything else that you can think of that moves the price where if somebody calls you and says, why is gold up today? Why is gold down today, right? That's the question that we get asked. And there's almost countless reasons.
Yeah.
Fear. How about fear or greed? We haven't even talked about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's true.
Yeah. If people fear, I mean, that goes back to your uncertainty point, but yeah. Not greed. I think that's one thing we've left out of that speculation, that sometimes it's just moving as a result of becoming a speculative market.
Yeah.
Leverage in the futures, you know, or type of situation.
And you'll see that money hitting ETFs. You'll see that money hitting into the futures contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. That money doesn't necessarily buy up bars or coins. You know, they're quick in, quick out, momentum trades. I think you'll also see another divergence between the New York spot price and the cost of a Krugerrand or an Eagle or a $20 gold piece again, where you're looking at a 20% premium or a 25% premium for the cheapest ounce of gold just because you can get it, regardless of what the spot price is saying to the marketplace, the physical demand. It would not take much for the gold in the U.S. to be bought up, and we are once again relegated to 1 kilo bar per customer per day like we were a few years ago. And a kilo bar is 32 ounces. That's quite a bit of value.
It is. And as gold climbs in our lifetime, it all becomes relative, right? And we have to start focusing on percentages instead of dollar figures.
Yeah.
Because you sold your gold in the late 70s.
Yeah.
For how many dollars?
$100 an ounce.
Yeah. See? So now we see a $100 move in gold in 3 days.
Yeah.
right? So you have to focus on the percentage, and that's going to continue in our lifetime, going back to the point where it's purchasing power. As the currency depreciates in its purchasing power, gold maintains. And so it looks like gold is getting more and more expensive, but it's not. It's just maintaining its purchasing power.
Yeah, in 73, you could buy a decent new car for $2,500, $3,000. Same car today, $20,000 to $30,000.
20 ounces of gold. So at $100 an ounce back then, you know, you're talking about $2,000 car, 20 ounces of gold. Now 20 ounces of gold is buying you a new car.
Yeah.
And so that's a great example. All right, so for the sake of the listener, I'm going to tie this all together here and we'll wrap up here a little bit. But Rob, as always, love your experience, love your wisdom, your willingness to be on here all the time and lead us through in wise fashion. But again, I would encourage everybody, think of this as a scale. At any given point, something can be getting stacked up on the bullish side and something getting stacked up on the bearish side at the same time. There are a lot of underlying fundamentals. And to briefly recap, if I got them all down here that we talked about uncertainty, geopolitics, supply of gold or production, central bank demand, the fiat currency depreciation, bond markets with yields, politics, inflation versus deflation, monetary policy decisions, spending, debt, speculation, stock market action, privacy, asset preservation as a primary motivator, fear, greed, interest rates from the Federal Reserve. Those are all fundamentals. And so when you call and ask, why did gold go up or down today? We're going to have to point to some of those and you'll understand that gold is reacting. Gold very rarely is the predictor. It's the canary in the coal mine.
It's the barometer.
Yes. And so that's what we have to focus on is, okay, to answer your question, here is a whole list of fundamentals. Some are pushing it, some are pulling it. All said and done, over the course of our lifetime, it's all about the asset preservation, the privacy and insurance aspect.
And the legacy aspect.
Well, thank you so much again for listening to this week's Golden Rule Radio. If you liked what you heard, hit the subscribe button. Ring the bell, as Miles always says. If you follow us on X, it's at ICA Gold, Facebook, McIlvaney Financial. Our website is McIlvaney.com, but our favorite always is for you to call us at 800-525-9556 so we can speak with you individually and walk through your own portfolio and help you understand the whys and the hows with acquiring gold.